Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday Night Shiur for Parshas Shlach. As we know, at the very end of this week's Seder, we find the psukim which comprise what is known as the Parsha of Tzitzis, or the third Parsha of Kriya Shema, which I printed in Source 1, the end of Parshas Shlach, but Midbar Perek Tezvav, five psukim starting in Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Baruch Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber Avon Yisov, Ma'atol Ahim V'asulam Tzitzis, Al-Kam Fevi Dem L'Dachosom, and Asunol Tzitzis, Al-Kanof, Pasil Techeles. Torah tells us, Hashem tells Moshe, tell the Bnei Yisrael that they should make tzitzis for themselves on the corners of their garments. And they have to affix to these tassels or strings, fringes on the side of their garments, something called techeles. Right? This, it'll be tzitzis, and you'll see the tzitzis and the techeles, and you'll remember all the mitzvahs in the Torah, and you'll observe them, and you won't be led astray by your heart and by your eyes, which tend to lead people astray. So you can remember all the mitzvahs and be holy. So that's the parsha of tzitzis. The third parsha of Kriya Shema. And we see that one of the chief features of the mitzvah tzitzis is something called techeles, that you have to, that they, the fringes or the tassels on the side of the one's garments have to include something called techeles. And that's what I'd like to discuss tonight. I'd like to discuss a certain aspect of the matter of techeles this evening. As some of you know, the subject of techeles in general is close to my heart. There's an organization in Eretz Yisrael called Amutat Petil Techelet, the Petil Techelet Foundation, which is headed by my brother-in-law and my sister, among other people. And they have, for the last couple of decades or more, they have been reintroducing or reacquainting people with the idea of Techeles. Techeles is a color, you know, that's part of Tzitzis, that if we dyed that color, as we'll see. And they have kind of reintroduced this mitzvah on the assumption, I guess it's more than an assumption on their part, they're based on the affirmation or the conviction that they have uncovered the creature which is the source from which one can extract the dye that is used to produce authentic techeles. And that creature is a snail. It's known as the Murex snail, or Murex trunculus is the full title. And these people believe that the Murex snail is indeed the source from which the dye to produce authentic techeles can be extracted, as I said. And they have, for the last, let's say, a couple of decades or more, been manufacturing tzitzis strings dyed the color of this techeles. They've been selling it. It's available all over. There's just all in here. A lot of people wear it. I wear it myself, both on my talus cotton, my tzitzis, my reconvos, and on my talus godel. I have for many years. A lot of people around here also do that. And in Eretz Yisrael, I think even more people do it. It's become popular in many, many circles. And the people at this Amutat Petil Techelet, this foundation, asked many rabbonim all over the world, really, here in America, in Eretz Yisrael, and elsewhere, to spend some time this week, the week of Parsha Shlach, talking about the subject of Techeles. People identify with this, with their movement, so to speak. And so, since I do, I'd like to speak about Techeles this evening. Techeles is a very, very broad and encompassing subject, touches on a lot of different things. So I'm going to tell you first what I'm not going to discuss this evening, and then we'll go into what I will discuss. I'm not going to discuss too much about the color. What color exactly is Techeles? I've given shiurim on that in the past, and they're available, and other shiurim from other people available on Shiurim Wayu Torah. So I'm not going to discuss the color with blue or green, or it's an aqua color, or ultramarine, or indigo color, or Prussian blue, and this type of blue, sky blue, whatever. Okay, I'm not discussing that, the color. We'll touch on it a little bit, but that's not the major thrust of this evening's shiur. I'm also not going to discuss, interesting though it is, the history of how the Techeles dye was lost to the Jewish people for so many centuries, and how it's been rediscovered, at least according to those who hold that it has been rediscovered in recent times. An interesting story, but again, I've spoken about that in the past, not for tonight. I'm also not going to talk about the dyeing process, exactly how the dye is, you know, is extracted from this snail, and how it's manufactured into the techeles, and how it's dyed, and so on and so forth. Or I'm not going to talk either about, or about the tying process, how you tie tzitzis with techeles, how many strings of the tzitzis have to be the color of techeles, and how many have to be white, and how you wrap them, and how you tie the knots, and so on. These are all interesting and important subjects. I just can't cover everything and one shir. I'm also not going to talk about the question of Mesorah, of whether we can reintroduce something today, which has been lost for so many years. There's no Mesorah, no unbroken tradition about it, and so on. And I'm also not going to discuss the general question of the interface between science and Torah, and how seriously do we consider scientific evidence in terms of making Torah decisions, and so on. Those are the things I'm not going to discuss this evening. Interesting, though, all of them are, and important, though, all of them are. What I would like to discuss, really very simple, is what I would like to do is to address some of the basic or standard objections that are raised against this assertion that the murex snail produces the dye from which one makes authentic tchelis. I'd like to simply point to the passage in the Gemara and the Rambam and the Medrash, which seems to point against this conviction. It seems to say that it cannot be this murex snail. And this objection is raised by many, including many Gedolei Torah, Talmid Chachamim. I say at the outset, these objections are raised by people certainly much bigger than I am in learning, people who I respect greatly, whose Sfarim I enjoy reading, and who I would defer to in Psak Halacha in many, many areas. So I'm not coming here to say that they're wrong in raising these objections. In fact, again, the simple reading of the Gemara and the Rambam and the Medrash may indicate that they're really correct, but I'm not here to say that they're wrong. But inasmuch as there are also many important and prominent and outstanding Talmid Chachamim and Poskim and Gedolei Torah who agree that the murex snail is the source for Tchelis, I want to demonstrate that there are plausible responses to some of these objections, really to all of these objections, which would indicate that the people like me who do wear this tailis, this murex tailis, are certainly on solid halachic ground, and that really, you know, I think in the end of the day, the evidence points more in the direction that that snail is correct. But again, the idea is to respond to some of the objections based on the objections raised based on the Gemara, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch. So, and the Medrash. So, I'd like to begin with the basic question. The Torah never tells us, at least the Torah Shebichtav, never tells us exactly. What Tchelis is. The Torah just says, V'nosno tzitzakonof pesil tchelis. So Rashi and Chumash here in our Sedjah, in the second source, Parashat Shlach, Perek Tezor, Pasuk Lamaches, Rashi says, Tchelis, tseva yarok shel chilozon. So it says it's a color, it's a yarok color. Now I mentioned at the outset, yarok in modern Hebrew means green. In Talmudic and halachic Hebrew, yarok doesn't necessarily mean the color we today call green. Again, I'm not going to that in great detail, but we'll touch that a little bit. But more important for us right now is that it says, Seva yarok shel chilozon. It comes from a creature called the chilozon. Okay? Similarly, you know, our sedge is not the first time Tchelis is mentioned in the Torah. If you look, it's mentioned for the first time back in Parshas Truma, when the Torah tells us in Shmos Perkaf, the first couple of psukim there in Source 3, the Torah tells us the different things that have to be collected for the purpose of building the Mishkan. Tchelis is one of the things that was necessary because certain tapestries in the Mishkan had Tchelis in it, and certain of the big day kahuna had Tchelis in it, and certain coverings for the kelim when they transported them had to have Tchelis in it. So the Torah says in the beginning of Parshat Truma, Shmos Perkaf, and so on. You collect from them gold, silver, and copper. And Pasuk Dalet, Uschelis, and also Tchelis, and Rashi there in Parshat Truma. Perkafe Pasuk Dalet 4 says, Tchelis, Tzemer, Savua, Bedam, Chilazon. It's wool, he says, it's wool, which is colored or dyed with the blood of this chilazon, utzoa yarok, and the color is yarok, again, not necessarily meaning green, as it does in modern Hebrew. The idea, again, tzemer tzavua bidam chilazon. Rashi didn't fabricate this idea, of course. It's in the Tosefta, Masachas Menachos Perek Tes Halacha Vav, Source 5. Tcheles ein kshera ela min chilazon, shalom min chilazon psula. Tcheles, in order to be kosher, has to come from this creature called the chilazon. If it's not, it's puzzle. And what does that mean, that it's puzzle and tzitzit? It means you're not allowed to wear the garment, you're not yotzei, okay, not the topic I'm looking tonight either, but again, it says that it comes from chilazon. So to the Gemara, in Menachos Daf Mem Beis Mem Beis, Source 6, Amalei Abailer of Shmuel Bar Yehuda, ha tchilta, hei chi tzavitula. How do you manufacture this tchelis? How do you dye the tchelis? The Gemara gives you the recipe. Okay, Amalei, my sin on dam chilazon. You bring the blood from this creature called the chilazon. The samonim and certain other types of ingredients, ramin la bayora or marsichla, you put in a big pot and you heat it up and so on. The Gemara gives you the rest of the formula of how you make it. But again, for our purposes, the Gemara mentioned it comes from the chilazon. So the million-dollar question is, what exactly is the chilazon? Okay, what is this creature that the Rashi and the Tosefta and the Gemara and so on, and many midrashim call the chilazon? What is the chilazon? That's the question. So the Gemara mentions a little bit later in Menachos, in source number eight, right? The previous source seven was just the Rashi, okay? That says that whenever they dye something, they use certain types of ingredients, fine. But now source eight, Menachos Mem Dalam Aleph. The Gemara gives certain indications or certain characteristics of the chilazon. So the Gemara says, source eight, very important. Tanar Rabbanan, chilazon ze gufo doma layam. Gufo, its body is similar to the sea. And Rashi explains there in source 9 on Mem Dalam Aleph, gufo, mare gufo. Its appearance, a color, that's what it seems to mean. Okay, the color of the body of this creature called the chilazon is similar to the color of the ocean. Okay, gufo doma layam. All right. Ubrioso doma ladag. Okay, it's Rashi, that probably the second part of that for Rashi, Dima Masu Gufo 9, is probably going on Brioso. Tavnis Duyukno, it's makeup, it's skeletal, you know, I guess it's physique, if you will. Okay, the physical characteristic, look, it's physical, it's Doma like a fish, it's like a fish. And Ve'ola Echad L'Shiv Mishana, it comes out onto the ground, you know, once every 70 years, there are sources say 7 years, whatever, seven, very rarely. Ubidomo Tsovin Tcheles, and with its blood, you dye the Tcheles. That's why it's very expensive, because it's difficult to get and so on. So this Gemara indicates four things. It has to be gufo domalayam. Its body has to be this color, the way Rashi is telling, the color of the sea. Okay. Brioso, its physical makeup, its physique is like a fish, like that of a fish. It comes very rarely. It comes out of the water once every 70 years, and you use its blood for tchelis. So there are those who say, well, you look at this Gemara and you can say goodbye to the Murex snail. I mean, it doesn't seem to meet any of these criteria. Okay, gufa domal yam. Well, the color of the yam. What color is the yam exactly? Well, it's blue or bluish green. Okay, that's not the color of these snails. Okay, that's not what it is. You see these snails? They're not that color. Brioso, though, they're like a fish. Not a fish. It's a snail. Snails like a fish. Okay, as far as we know, they don't come out of the water once every 70 years. Certainly, you can get them without waiting 70 years, okay, and to deep sea diving and get them, and without even deep sea diving, you can find them right, you know, right in the coast and in the waters, in the Mediterranean, not that deep, right off certain places, you know, on the beaches along the coast of Eretz Yisrael. And you use its blood for tchelis. You don't use the blood. The blood, the dye comes from a gland, okay, it's not the blood of the creature. So here you have four things which there are people who say, you know, goodbye and good luck. What are you talking about? The Murex doesn't meet any of these criteria. It doesn't look like its appearance is not like the ocean. Okay, it's not a fish. It's available without waiting 70 years, and you don't use its blood. So then again, that's what I said before. The simple reading of the Gemara says that you can't be talking about the Murex. So and those are, again, solid objections. So let's look at each one of them. In Maseches Tzitzis, one of the so-called Maseches Tanis, the minor Maseches Tzitzis 10, in the Maseches Tzitzis Perek Aleph, only has one Perek, it says the following about Tchilozen, it's about Tchilozen, She'ain Tzob Tcheles Elam Tchilozen, that Maseches Tzitzis, that price also says that you have to use the Tchilozen. Tchilozen Lemahu Dome, what is the Tchilozen like? Again, it also says, Brioso Dome Ladag, its physical makeup, it's like a fish. It sounds like it's got to be a fish, a snail's not a fish. The Gufo, he says, Dome Larekia, okay? And we said in Gemara Gufo Domel Yam. This Maseches Tzitzis says Bria Gufo Domel Rekia, the color of the sky. Okay, but again, that's also not true about this snail. Ve'eno Ela L'Sheva Shanim. See there, it says 7 years. Leficha Domel Yoker. That's what's expensive. So a little bit of a different version, but again, nothing that would seem to indicate that it is a Murex snail. So we have to look into this a little bit to talk first about the color, what color it is. So the Gemara in Menachos is the famous Gemara, Mem Gimel Beis, talks about Tcheles itself, not talking about the snail, but the color of Tcheles. Gemara says in source 11, Menachos Mem Gimel Beis 11, Tanya Hayer Meir Omer Manishtana, different Manishtana, Manishtana Tcheles Mikol Minei Tzivonim. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she says, in 12, Manishtana Tcheles, she yichtu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzvah, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide that for the Mitzvah Tzitzis, you have to have Tcheles from all other colors and dyes and so on and so forth? So the Gemara answers, Tcheles Domel Yam. The Tcheles color is similar to the Yam. The Yam Domel Rekia, right? The ocean is like the same color as the sky. Rekia Lekisa Kovid. The Rekia is the color of the Kisa Kovid. Shenema, how do we know that? Shenema, Visachas Ragul, Kamai Saliv Nasasapir, Chesam Shantor, Luxiv, Kimara, Evan Sapir, Dmuz Kise Tupsukim. Okay, now Rashi says in 12, Doma Liyam reminds us of the Nisim of the Yam. Okay, and the Rekia reminds us of the Kisa Kovod, the Tchelis, we think about a Kodesh Baruch, we think about the Kisa Kovod, and it quotes the Psukim. Okay, and I printed the Psukim for you in Parshas Mishpatim. Okay, I'm going to hold questions at the end. There's a lot to cover today. Okay. So the Parshas Mishpatim, it says in Perkav Dal, Shmos Pasuk Tes, 13, Vayal Moshe, this is by Mamad Har Sinai. Moshe, Vayal Moshe, Aaron Nadav, Eber, Shiv, and Ziknei Yisrael, certain elders went up with Moshe, at least partly up the mountain. Pasuk Gid, Vayur, said, okay, Yisrael, Vesachas, they saw Kodesh Baruch, wherever we understand that exactly. They had some perception of the heavenly throne. Vesachas, Ragel, Kemase, Livnas, Hasapir. A sapphire is a sapphire, right? Sapphire stone. So that's blue. Okay, it's a sapphire. That's the color. Like the pure sky, you know, the blue sky. And Apostle Yecheskel as well. Parak Allah, Apostle Chav Vav, 14. That's read as Aftar on the first morning of Shavuos. If you stayed up all night, you're definitely sleeping during this Aftar. It says, Umimal Rakia, Asher Orosh, and this was the vision Yecheskel had when he wrote above the sky, Kemare Evan Sapir Demus Kise, Val Demus Hakise, Demus Kemare Adam Alabel Nala, right? He saw the heavenly throne, looked like a person sitting on a throne, so to speak. That's how Yecheskel understood it. And again, it mentions Evan Sapir, sapphire. So that's where that works out. Okay. And again, the Gemara, you know, that the Tcheles is the color of the ocean, which is the color of the sky, which is reminiscent of the Kise HaKavod and the sapphire stone that was seen by the heavenly throne. Everyone understand what they saw. Similarly, there's a Gemara Chul in Pei Tesamet Aleph. Again, this is not talking about the Chalazon, it's talking about the Tcheles. Okay, similar Gemara, the Tanya of Meir Omer in 15, Chul in Pei Tesamet Aleph, Manish Tana Tcheles Mikola Tzivon, and Isha Tcheles Dom Eliam, Biyam Dom Rakia, Rakia Dom Eleven Sapir, just a different order a little bit, Eleven Sapir Dom Elkisa Kova, Dixi, and quote the same two psukim. Okay, so again, the same thing, right? The Manish Tana Tcheles, Rashi says that the Torah uses it for the Smitza, and Tcheles Dom Eliam. Now, Rashi says there in Chulin, the second part of 16, Shachilozum Nayamu Ola Achas Shimshano, Umar is Domo, it's blood. Okay, looks like Liam, and the Yam that we see it is blue. It looks like the Rakia. Rakia is like Sapir, Sapphire, and so on, the way we mentioned before, and that's the Kisa Kovid, etc. So why do I bring all this in? Because, again, these Gemaras are not talking about the Chalazon itself, but about the Tcheles. However, the Ritva in the Chidushim there in Chulin, Pei Tesamet Aleph, is an interesting comment in 17. The Ritva writes, Manish Tana Tcheles, he wonders, why do you have this whole roundabout thing? If the whole idea is the Tcheles to remind us of the heavenly throne, so why do you have to say the Tcheles is like the Yam, and the Yam is like the Rakia, and the Rakia is like the Kesa Kovod. The Kesa Kovod is Evan Sapir, and Chad Gad, what do you need a whole long thing for? Just say that the Tcheles is the color of the Kesa Kovod. Right? What do you have to have a whole roundabout, you know, one thing? That's the Ritva's Kasha. Hod the Orach Hulehai, Lomer Shatcheles on Yam, and Rakia, Havel Lememer Shatcheles, Domel Rakia, finished. Says Nira Hatam, Sheina Tcheles Domel Rakia Mamish, because it's not exactly like the sky. None of the things are exact. Ela Sheidei Shatcheles Domel Yam Ktsas, Yam Domel Rakia Ktsas. Nira Shatcheles Domel Rakia. In other words, the Ritva says when it says Domel, it doesn't mean identical. It doesn't mean it has to look exactly the same. It's similar in some ways. That's all the Domel means. That's the Ritva's point. So now that's what the Ramban says the same thing here in our parsha, Shlach, Perek Tzav, Pasuk Lamed Ches, 18. V'zeu she'omru v'pnei shatcheles dom liyam v'yam dorki, etc. V'hadimyon v'shem gam ha'geven tachlis ha'maros ki b'rechokam niru kulam ki gavan ahu. Right? They, from a distance, they look like that, right? But it doesn't mean they're exactly the same. It's a dimyon. So once we say that over there, and by the way, it says Kleoker also. Okay, the Kleoker here in Shlach, Perek Tzav, Pasuk Lamed Ches, also in Tzitzis 19. V'hinei b'inyan Tcheles Amru Chazal, he quotes the whole Gemara. Perusha on the second line, v'vadai Perusha, she'tzvayim be'ele b'dome le'dome. It's similar to that, which is similar. Ki ain't Tcheles Dome le'rakia, ela kol echad note b'tzvay ela dome le'vechol echad amok mechle. One is darker, one is lighter, it's a deeper shade. Bottom line, when the Chazal used the word dome, it doesn't mean, have to mean exactly. It has to be some kind of similarity. So therefore, we ask the question, and we began with the question, how can you say that the snail, you know, it says the Gemara back in source 8, that's the key Gemara, Mem Dal Malav says, Chilozon Zel, Gufo Doma Layam. Well, Doma, it's a pit. Doesn't mean it has to be exactly the color of the ocean, but it could be in some way similar. The Chacham Tzvi writes in a Tshuva, in Siman Nun Vav, he's talking in general. Okay, but he uses our Gemara as an example. He says, "The Bishlam Aloma Al She'ena Dome Derech Uloma After Lo Dome Kolkach." It's commonplace that people say things are similar when they're not exactly the same. They're similar. You won't say the other round. Okay, Kaosah. You know, he says, "Loma Al She'ena Dome Derech Uloma." After Adom, we call Kaf. You can't say that around. But you, when something is not at all, when something is similar, you can't say it's not similar. When something is not that similar, but it's a little similar, it's okay. Ka'osa sha'amru tcheles dom alayam, says the Chacham Tzvi. Talking about tcheles, it doesn't have to be exactly the same. Just by way of an example, you know, there's a medrash in Rus Rabbah. Nothing to do with our topic. And Parsha Gimel, Halacha Siman Gimel 21. Medrash in Rus Rabbah says, Olam hazeh dom alayam. If to prepare yourself in this world and so on. Does that mean Olam Hazeh Dom Aleyam, really? Is this world like the ocean? Obviously, for the purpose of this example, it's similar in some ways. It doesn't have to mean, Doma doesn't have to mean exactly. So Mamela, we can say the same thing back in our source, in source 8, the Gemara in Mendam Alav. Gufo Dom Aleyam, it has to be in some way similar. It doesn't be exact, the exact same color. Now, what's interesting is, getting back to the color a little bit, so, you know, we've so far seen that seems to be the color is blue, right? Like the ocean, like the sky, all right? But it's interesting, you look in the Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi's in Brachas, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis 22. Magid shatcheles dom aliyam, b'yam dom ala asavim, ace of gris. Okay, the yam is green. Well, the yam, the water at sea green is also a color. Right, especially near the shore, depends on how much algae is there, whatever else, right? So here in the Yishalmi, it's Yamdala Savim, and the Asavim Domila Rakia. Really? Here, green does mean green. You know, maybe that's what Yarash was getting when he said, Yorok, this Yishalmi says Asav is green. We've heard of bluegrass, you know, in Tennessee, whatever, but you know, but our grass is green, right? Grass is always green in somewhere else, so the grass is green. So the and the sea also is green. So you see already from this Yerushalmi, you know, it's not exactly parallel. The Asavim Domel Rakia, yeah, it's a shade, it's a different color, but it's not exactly. And he quotes a different, the Yerushalmi quotes a different pasuk. Yecheskel Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph, Yecheskel 23 also says, El Rakia El Arosh HaKruvim Kevin Sapir Sapphire. Sapphire is a deeper blue, right? So the Mara Haponim from the Pnei Moshe, Pnei Moshe wrote a twin commentary on the Yerushalmi. One is a Rashi-style commentary called Pnei Moshe. One is a Tosa-style commentary called the Mara Haponim. So the Mara Haponim there, Brochus, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, the Mara Haponim says, quotes this Gemara, the Yerushalmi, Yayam Domel Asovim. He said, Bebavli, Logoris, Ela Tchelis Domel Ayam, Vayam Arkiya. Okay? And he says, Lofia Girsa, the Bavli, who ain't Seva Shakarin, Irinda Belaz, Uvaloshkan Ashkenaz, blue. To the base lamed vavala blue, okay. In the Ashkenaz language, it means blue, right? Avrofir gears of the hocha, but here in the Yerushalmi, it's a verde, you know, the Italian green, right? Okay, in asavim v'losh Ashkenaz green, okay. So he says actually two different things, okay. But they're both. It's okay. It's not necessarily stira. All right. Interesting enough, when you manufacture dye with the murex dye, it actually does turn green for a while. Before it comes blue, but that's a different point. The point is that you see in the Bava Yerushalmi, you know, it's not exact color. Talking about the tcheles, it's not an exact color. This one said it's greenish, that one said it's bluish. Sometimes colors look different to different people. Maybe it's a aqua type of color a little bit, you know. In fact, it's interesting, Mara Panim sends you to Tosos and Sukkah, Lamed Aleph and Beis. Okay, because at the end of the Mara Panim, he says, you look at that Tosos and Sukkah, okay, Tosos the Sukkah is Dibba Masra Hiroka Karsi in 25. Now, Karsi is a leek. That is green. Talking about a green Esrog. Okay, that's the subject there in Sukkah. Laman Alvin Beis. Hiroka Karsi, the Esrog is green like a leek. Okay, now that's certainly green. Masra Shariah Kitseva Shakarin Virid Belaz. Okay, on the other hand, the Gemara Bracha says it's more like, you know, it's Indiro, it's a bluish color. Okay, so he quotes these Gemaras and he says it depends, you know, there are different colors. Yerushalmi says it's more greenish because it says Asev, and the Bavli says more bluish, it says like the sky. All right. And the truth is, the Gemara in Brachas, if you remember, I put it on Daf Testament base, I'll get to the Gemara in a second, but just look at the end of Tosas. Tosas says in one place that Yorok can mean yellow in some places. Look at the last line of 25. But Perek Elu Trefus, Mashma the Yorok Domi Lechelmon Shel Beitza. Chelmon is a yolk, an egg yolk. Chelmon Shel Beitza. Okay, it's yellow. You can't say a yellow, but it's a yellow, right? So yarok doesn't have to mean green the way we call it. It can mean a shade. It can mean a bluish color, all right? Now, there's a difference between blue and green, Okay, and that's the famous Mishnah and Brochas, Tesama Beis, the time of Misha Yakir in the morning, the earliest time, Meimasai Koran, Shema B'Shachris, what's the earliest time you can say Shema? So one opinion is Misha Yakir ben Techelas Alovin, yeah, it's basically light enough to be tell between blue and white. Roleza Omer ben Techelas Lakarsi, between Techelas Lakarsi is green, but leek green, blue and leek green, that's already a later time. Those colors are very similar, you need more light, you need less light to be able, it's earlier, you'll tell the difference between blue and white than between blue and Karsi, right? Rashi says there also, in Brachas Tesamei 27, Tchelas Yoroku, Vikarov Litseva Karsi. It's close to the leek green color. So again, it's Tchelas a bluish color, but maybe like an aqua color or some other type of color that's similar to green. That's how the Rosh also writes there. Brachas Parakalav Simen Yud 28, Kadesh Nikar Bein Hatzoyim Pirish Bein Shnei Tzoyim Hadomim Zel Zeh Kigon Tchelas Vikarsi. What's my point in all this? My point in all this is to show when we talk about colors being similar, it doesn't have to be the exact same. And we see even again, this one has a more greenish tinge to it. That one is a bluish tinge. And the Gemara has, it's the same drosha. The Yerushalmi, back in Source 22, is the same drosha as the Bavli, you know, Tchelas Dom Eliyam and so on, in Source 11. So why? Well, they saw green. So again, the answer is it's similar, right? Depends how you're looking at it. It also depends a little bit who's you know, the eye of the beholder, who's looking, right? So we can say the same thing in our opening Gemara on Mandal Ralav, Gufo Dom Eliyam, all right? The Shulchan Aruch, actually, when talking about colors with respect to Hilchus Nida, in Yoredeis and Kuf Pei Ches Siv Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kol Mara Adom, a reddish color, whether it's a deep red or not a deep red, that's Tomei, that's Nida. Same thing with the black. Okay. The Ein Tor Elamara Lovon V'chein Mara Yorok. If it's a white discharge the woman has, that's not Dam. That's not Dam Nida. V'chein Mara Yorok. Also, the Yorok color. What is Yorok? Okay. So he says, Yorok means Kemara or filo Kemara Hashava, it's a wax color. Or Hazov, it's got a golden, you know, tinge, a yellowish color. The Kol Shekain Hayoro Kekarsi or Kasov. Certainly, if it's green, I don't know how many, some mucusy discharges are green in the body, right? That's not Dam neither. If it's like a leek or like grass. And in the parentheses, there are more eds. Vechain Mara Shekari Meloshan Ashkenaz blue. That's also Bechlal Yoroku. The more writes Mefurish. Blue is included on the Yorok. So we can't get too excited when Rashi in our Parsha says that Tchelas is Yorok, or in Parsha's Trumi says the same thing, or in the Gemara says the same thing that we saw. So it could mean Yorok is include blue as well. It's a broader definition of Yorok, but it's a similar color. Okay, that's a Shach, it's certainly green, and the difference between blue and green. Okay, the Shach, then, so 930 says, Kolshik and green, Shukasovim. Okay, so anyway, getting back to our topic. So the Medrash Tilim in Mizmor Tzadi, Osir Ches also has the same drush. Amor Chizkav Yistam Moshe Rameir. Tchelas Dom Yam V'Yam Dom Asama Sam Dom Lilanos Ilanos Tokia. Again, the whole he has Ilanos. Another step, trees, okay, which also green, and then they have all these different you know things we said before. But he has something else. Rakia Lanoga Noga Lakeshes Keshels Udmos. Right, it's like a rainbow, different colors, right, different shades, different colors. Quotes a different pasuk there in Yecheskel Perak Aleph Pasuk Chav Ches 23. Kemara Hakeshes. Right. Okay, so it's multicolored. Bottom line, Rabbi Osai, is that there are different shades and different colors. And you put that together with the fact that, guess what? The Murex snail, when you take it out of its natural habitat, very often has algae on top of the shell. So it is a greenish type of color. And therefore, I don't think that the statement and the Gemara in Menachos Memdalav and Aleph Gufo Dom Eliyam excludes the yes, it is that color. When you take it out of its natural habitat, it very often has algae. You can see pictures of it. You can go online and see pictures of it. It has green, greenish algae on it that's affixed to the shell. So Taka looks like it. Not only that, but even without that, you know, when we say it's Dom Eliyam, there's something else as well. What do we mean by Dom Eliyam? Okay, what exactly is the yam? So yam, we used to mean the ocean, right? But we look carefully in the Mefarshim, Bereishis Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud, right? Vayikra Elokim Laybasha Eretz Ulamik Vamayim Kara Yamim. Arlekem Kitov. Says the Ramban there in Bereishis Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud 34. Says the Ramban, Bekara Lamik Vamayim Yamim, Kiiluhu Yam Mayim, Lefi, and here's the key for us, Shekarka Hamikva Nikra Yam. The seabed is sometimes called yam. Not the ocean water itself, but the seabed. Kedixiv, Pasuk Yeshaya, we know the Pasuk, right? From the let's say Pesach. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Test 35. Pasuk we say in Tashach, another thing is, Lo Yoreo, Lo Yashchisu Hal Kark B'chol Arkochi, Ki Mola Aretz Deas Hashem, Kamayim, Layam Mechasim. The world will be filled with knowledge of Hashem like water covers the yam. What do you mean water covers the yam? Water is the yam. What does it mean? Kamayim le'am echasim. It says Ramban, that's what I'm saying. Like water covers the seabed. That's what it means. Or a pasuk, to the Radak says it over there in Yeshaya. 36 Perkin al pasuk test. Mokom hamayim yikri yam. Right? The place is called hamayim emalim oso. The water fills it up, right? At the bottom, and therefore fills it up so much. Shelo yeroa, karkayam. You can't see the seabed. So the yam can mean the seabed. He also quotes the Ramban does back in 34. Pasuk malachim beis. Perk tazayin pasuk yud zayin. The damage done in the Beis HaMikdash by the king Ahaz, and among the things that he wrecked were the Kior and the Yam. The Yam, what's that? The famous Yam Shel Shlomo, right? You know, the Kior is the washing station, the laver, the Kohanim washroom. The Torah never gives you how big, it just says you make the Kior and it stands, but how big? So the answer is no size. And so Shlomo Melech, by the time he built the Beis HaMikdash, more Kohanim, so he built this enormous tub-like structure and filled with water. And that's like the water came out of it. The Mitzvah Tzion there, Malachim Beis Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin 38 says, also Kegigis Gedol, like a big tub. That's called the Yam. Okay. And and he took it apart, the King Ahaz. But look at the Rabbeinu Bachya over there in Bereishis as well. Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud says like the Ramban, that very often the water, right? Look what it says. Kloma HaChafira, right? The place where you dig, the bottom. That's, the Yam. The second line of 39, Ki amayim mechas mesachriya nikra yam. Memela rabosai. When it says in the Gemara, Mendalim and Aleph, in source 8, Gufo doma la yam, may not mean the color of the ocean water, but the yam may mean the seabed. Okay, it's the color of the seabed. Okay, and these snails, that's where they are, their natural habitat. They blend very much into the seabed, especially with the algae and with other junk. Okay, so that's, well, may well, but I mean, and therefore there does not seem to be any problem with saying that the Murex snail is the authentic source of tchela, just based on a gufo doma liyam. Now, the second thing the Gemara said was brioso doma ladag. So it says doma ladag, so we could say, well, it's like a fish. Okay, and we said that doma already doesn't mean exactly. Problem is the Rambam, you look in Perek Beis of Hilchot Tzitz, Halacha Beis 40. Rambam says Kesa Tzovin Tchelos Tzitz, how do you die and so on. So he tells you what you do, and then he says in the second line, "V'charkach mevi and dam chilozim, v'hu dog shadoma ain alay tchelos." It's a fish whose color looks like tchelos. Well, the Rambam says not doma la dog. He says v'hu dog. So again, based on this Rambam, you can say goodbye to the Murex. It's not a dog. It's not a fish. It's a snail. A snail is not a fish. So again, in the Gemara, it says doma ladag, so we could kvetch that a little bit, and we have some wiggle room. But according to the Rambam, there doesn't seem to be much wiggle room. It just says it's a fish. Or is there? So the truth of the matter is, it's clear that the Rambam doesn't mean, or it's very difficult to say that the Rambam doesn't mean actually it's a fish. Because the Rambam himself, in the Parish HaMishnah, there's a Mishnah Kalim, Perek Yud Beis, Mishnah Aleph 41, where the Mishnah talks about something with Tumah, the chain was affixing something to the wall. I cut out the details now, but it says if you fastened it and you had, look at the end of the line there, Osha Kosher Chilozon Barosha, if you use the shell of the Chilozon, and that's what the Rambam says. Look in Kalim Perikin Beis Mishnah Aleph in the Parish HaMishnah 42. Chilozon Ukein Tzadaf Osumi Barzel. No one blows Hados. It's kind of a thing made out of metal. But Osa Tzadaf, what Tzadaf shall Balchai Hayami Hanikra Chilozon. It's the sea creature called the Chilozon, and the Rambam is talking about something like a shell, strong like a shell. So you see, according to the Rambam, he did not mean fish, because fish don't have shells, the general rule, but snails do. In fact, the Rambam's son, 43, is a Tshuva's Birkas Avram, by Rabbeinu Avram ben HaRambam. Birkas Avram, Simen Yud Ches, in a different matter, also talking about the Chilozon, okay, mentions that it's a creature that doesn't have oar. Okay, the Kabichilozon ain't low or, he says, right? Told me whether you can kill this creature on Shabbos or not, or is it considered really alive? Okay, not allowed to kill someone on Shabbos, but certain things which are not considered normally alive, you can. Anyway, he says, Abochayash ain't low or, ain't low chayba chiyomis is kula, right? You can't just draw blood, but you have to kill it completely if it has no skin. Behind Udakshina, Kabichilozon, Afopisha ain't low or. Okay, certain things, just certain creatures, just to extract blood is also on Shabbos. Others, they're not really considered fully living, so unless you're terminated completely, it's not a violation of Shabbos. Again, not as in the Shabbos issue now, but the Birkas Avram, the Rambam's son, says that the Chilozon ain't low or. That also doesn't sound like a fish. Fish does have skin, right? We skin fish, right? So this is a, but a snail doesn't have skin, right? Not only that, but we see from many other sources that seem to indicate that chalazon is a snail. Okay, the pasuk in Parshas Ekev, Perek Ches, of the Dvarim pasuk Daled. Simlos chalabos halachim aragel chabotzeka zerbaim shana. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, the whole 40 years in the midbar, you didn't have, your clothes didn't wear out, and so on. So the Rashi says that there's a medrash that that the clothes grew with them and they were cleaned by the Adonai Kovod and so on. They didn't have to never had to wash their clothes and somehow they stayed fresh. And what happened? Wait a minute. But what if you're a kid? Okay, and then you grew up in the midbar. Didn't your size change? So Rashi is the end of 45. No, their clothes grew with them. You only had to buy your kid one suit. That was it. Okay, then they didn't have to buy another suit ever again. You know, grew with them the whole 40 years. Right? Use the same suit for the bar mitzvah, use for the wedding. Good. But anyway, it's kalavush hazeh shel chomet shagadol imo. Where do we find such a thing? It says the Rashi, chomet is a snail. It's like a snail whose outer shell grows with it. And that comes from the Medrash in Shir Hashim Rabbah, Parsha Dalad, Simon Aleph 46, Simon Beis, Hashim 46. It says, Dvash HaKol HaTachos HaShneich, he says, Tsei Ulamad, the second line of Chilozon, and here it says Chilozon. Rashi says Chomet, the snail, but here it says Chilozon, Shekolz Man Shugodol, Nartiko Godol Imo, its shell grows with it. So this Medrash seems to be saying, it is a that's not characteristic of a fish. That's characteristic of a snail. And similarly, Parshas Kisavo, Dvarim Perkav Tes Posad Dalad, it says again, right, simlosechem aleichem, and so on. Your clothes didn't wear out, your shoes didn't wear out. So the perish arosh there in Kisavo Perikov Tes Pasuk Dalet says it's like al tisma. I don't think it's so strange. Go bo ureimi beso shel shablul. Shablul is also another word for a snail. A snail grows kolz man shu gadol beso gadol. It's house, right? Like when your little kids book the snail's shell is almost like a house, right? There are windows and everything. So, but this its house grows with it. And that's in Dvarim Rabbah also, there in Kisavah, Parsha Zayin, Simon Yud Aleph 49. It also says, and there it says, Chilozon. Okay? Look at the end there. Chilozon hazeh, kishagodol mabusho, godol imo. When it goes, it's, so these are things that are characteristic of a shell, and not of a fish. Okay? And there are other indications that Chilozon, without its shell, is something similar to a slug or a worm, which is exactly what, you know, you take the shell off of a snail, it's basically a slug. Right, it's like a worm. That's its body. Okay, there's a Mishnah, a Gemara rather than Bechoros, Laman Chesam Beis. Now it's talking about something else. It's talking about some mum of an infection in the eye. Okay, and the eye had sort of something in it, some kind of a scratch or something, that it was a shape of a chilozon. And again, that postulate from Bechor. It's one of the mumim that disqualified Bechor. Again, the detail is not important for us, but look in 50, Lam Chesem Beis, Rav Achana met a certain Talmud Chacham and son of Zokin, and he says, he said it's a mum in this Bechor, right? Chilozun ze, at the end of 50, mum kabul ishkala vizel nochosh, shomer chachamim. Says Rashi, look in 51, chilozun ze Bechor, hello, chilozun bay nine. It didn't mean it had a worm in its eye, but it mean it had some kind of a scratch or some blemish in its eye that looked like a worm, okay, or a snake. That's the snake, all right? And we find, interestingly, among the psulim for a person that Kohen, that they couldn't serve in the Beis HaMikdash, Parshas Emor, Ve'ikar Parchof Aleph Pasuk Yuches, Kikol Ish Asher B'Mum, etc., and list different types of blemishes and wounds and so on. One of them is, in Pasuk Chof, Ogiben Adak O Tevalul Be'eino. Tvalul be'eino. What's tvalul be'eino? So Rashi says, look in 53, Rashi there in Parshat Emor, Perek Chafala Pasachov says, Tvalul, Targum Chavul Chiliz, Loshen Chilazon, Shudome Letolas. Tolas a worm, like a worm. Okay? That's like fish. I get some fish that do I, but an eel actually, more like an eel, right? But that's not technically a fish either. Okay? And that's what he calls a Chilazon, like a snake-like thing. Okay? The Rash Mishant in his commentary on the Mishnah Kalim, Perek Yud Beis, okay, and that same mission as before, Mishnah Aleph and Perek Yud Beis, we had before in the Rambam. He also says, he quotes the Aruch on that Pasuk, Tvalul Be'eino. Look what he says, the Aruch in Os Ches, the dictionary, the Aruch writes in 55, Chilozon, V'yesh Mefarshin Chilozon Hu Tavlul, Tvalul. That's a chilozon, that's a tvalul, it's like a worm. So clearly, there are all these indications. That chilozon is more like a worm. Rashi in Sanhedrin says it Mefurish as well, based on a Gemara in Tzadi Alvon Aleph, it talks about chilozon were like slugs. You know, a slug is also it's a worm-like creature, and like we find in the garbages and so on. Rashi says in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Alvon Aleph, Divim Aso Lecha Alei 57, chilozon tolas. Now you might think, well, maybe that's not talking about our chalazon, but look at the rest of Rashi. Tolas b'damotcheles, and Rashi calls it a tolas. See that? I mean, the Rashi calls it a worm, and it's talking about our chalazon because he said they use it for tzitzis, for tcheles. Okay, so and we find other indications that it's a type of a snail. All right, in Parsha Shmini, when it mentions the Shmona Shrotzim, the eight creeping creatures whose dead bodies are metame, right, the so-called Shmona Shrotzim. So one of them, the second last one, is a chomet. In Parak Yud Aleph of Vikra Pasuk Lamed, Pasuk Chav Tes Lamed lists all eight of them. The number seven is a chomet. Rashi says, what is a chomet? Rashi says, Shmini, Parak Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed, 59, a chomet, limtza. Huh? What is limtza? Chilozim. Okay, whatever the word is, limtza, whatever language, chilozim. Similarly, Rashi says in the Gemara in Shabbos, Ayin, Zayin, Amid, Beis. Okay, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Komash Bar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Balama Lo Bar Davar Echad Batala Bar Shablul LeKasis. This apparently is for some medicinal reason. It has this snail. And what is Shablul? Rashi again, Shabbos Ayin Zayin and Beis Shablul Limtza Chilozim. Again, it's a snail. And the Rebbeinu Gershom says Chilozim Karim Belaz. It's all these things. Shablul Chomet are all different types of snails. But the point is the Chilozim, which Rashi said is a worm. Okay, it's not a fish. All right. So, and again, it doesn't seem to have the Rav Yoh writes the chilozon talaz ve'ein lo or, okay? Chilozon is a talaz, doesn't have regular skin, but again, that's not like a fish. Fish does have skin, all right? And not only doesn't have skin, it doesn't have gidin, but it doesn't have gidin vatsamas either. Look in the Yerushalmi in Shabbos, Perak Alav Alach HaGimel, 64. Amr Shema Chalafta, below Michalozon, Shemana Michalozon, Chalozon, the Gemara there is discussing, but it's something without Gidin and Atzamos, you wouldn't be violated for killing it on Shabbos. Again, so the Gemara asks for Chalozon, Yeshul Gidin Atzamos. The Chalozon, you're chayav for killing on Shabbos. Doesn't it have Gidin Atzamos? Okay, does it have, it's a rhetorical question. Does it have? No, it does not. It doesn't have regular bones. Well, fish have bones. Okay, that's what Korban Eid explains. It's mutter to kill on Shabbos because it doesn't, again, he gives it a whole Hilchos Shabbos background, which is not really necessary for us at the moment. Okay, but the point is, look at the end there. Parak chilozon yesh gidin atzamos, but to me, that's a question. Dilma shani chilozon shein lo gidin atzamos. Maybe chilozon is different. It doesn't have gidin atzamos, and so that's the Moshe learns it. Anyway, bottom line, Rabbosai, okay, the chilozon doesn't seem to be a fish from all of these sources. Hagam that the Rambam said, Hilchos Tzitzis Parak Beis, we read before, the Rambam calls it a dog, but the Rambam himself said elsewhere that it's more like a snail. Okay, it's got a shell. The Rambam said, we saw much evidence that it's similar to a snail. Okay, the Chidush HaRitva there in Shabbos, on that same sugi in Shabbos, Ayin Hamad Aleph, Dimamasa Misasek, the Ritva also writes, Shani Chilozin Sheino Balevorim. It doesn't have the really varm really limited Iran, the Kiddush Aran, but the assumed Kiddush Aran and Shabbos, Kuv Zainam and Aleph, the Master Hatzadon says the same thing. It doesn't have a varim. Okay, so Rabosai, bottom line, it's very, very difficult to say that it's a fish. Okay, and the problem is, and even Rashi, we saw it, he calls it a worm. We look in Rashi in Shabbos Ayin Dalam Bey, 69, look what Rashi says. Litzboa hatcheles bidomo, again, it's our chilozon, because he's talking about tcheles. But who kemin dag koton? Rashi says it's like a small fish. So Rashi also seems like a fish, but the earlier Rashi we saw said it's a worm, right? More like a slug, okay, which is again more like a snail. And all these other evidence. So what's Rashi? What's a steer in Rashi? So the answer is no. The answer is when it says, again, in our Gemara, we open up, we also doma la dog, and the Rama says to fish, it could mean a fish is used in a broader sense, an aquatic creature. It's a sea creature. Okay? It doesn't mean dog, a fish that we call a fish, we call a fish today. And there's a raya from the comment of Ibn Ezra, famous Ibn Ezra in Parshas Va'era. The Torah tells us in 70, Shmos Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chav Vav and Chav Zayin, the second Makkah, Dam Tzardeya, right? Moshe, Shalach is maybe Abduni, Yimoyen HaTala Shalach, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Hina Anochi No Gefes, Kol Gvulcha, but Tzfar De'im, Dam Tzardeya, the second Makkah. What's a Tzardeya? So we all know frogs here, frogs there, frogs jumping everywhere, but the Ibn Ezra quotes an opinion, which I remember we heard as a kid also, Rabim Amo Shomin Dag Nimsajam Yukabaloshan Arab. In Arabic, it's called Altamastach. That's a crocodile. The Yotzim and Anar v'chotim and Anar, a crocodile climbs out of the water and grabs people. It does. Okay? So some say the Makrat Shadeh was a crocodile, which is much, much worse to me than frogs. You know, frogs are pests, but crocodiles are dangerous. But anyway, and then even as it goes on, others say it's regular, you know, it's a frog. And that's what he thinks. And that's the more famous explanation. But what I'm interested in now is notice what he calls a crocodile. Look at the beginning of 71. Rabim Omru, right? So as Ibn Ezra, this is in Perek Zion of Shmos Pesach Zion. Rabim Shehu Min Dag, it's a type of fish which is found in Egypt called a crocodile. A crocodile is not a fish. So what does Ibn Ezra mean? It's a fish in the sense that it's in the water. That's all. A Pesach until in Perek Nun Ches, Pesach Tes, talking about a Shablul. This snail, Kimo Shablul, and so on. Ibn Ezra says, what is Shablul? Ibn Ezra in Tehillim, Perek Nun Ches, Pasuk 73, Bora Shablul, who kidmus dog b'mayim. The Shiyim, as well, it slithers. It slithers when it walks, you know, when it moves. Okay? In other words, again, Shablul, demus dog, and the Vilna Gaon, Rabbi Osai, says it in Mefurish. In the Elio Rabba, his commentary to the Mishnah, Kalim Perek Yud, Mishnah Aleph, Yumasa Hochi, Gassina, Atzoma 74, says the Gro at the end, Shekol Shabayam Min Dog Hu. Anything which is in the sea, an aquatic creature, can be called sometimes in a halacha a dog. And therefore, we don't have to get excited when it says Briyoso Domal a dog in the Gemara in Menachos Mandal Aleph, that the chelozon is its physique is like a fish. It doesn't have to mean what we call a fish. Okay? It can mean something that lives in the sea, and therefore a snail is certainly possible. Okay? So that's that I think would you know takes care of that objection. Okay? Not only that, but if you look at the snail, you look at the pictures of the snail, okay, even if you want to insist that it means a fish, again it only says brioso domalai. Rabbi Gershom said there menachos mem davar alav brioso tsuroso, its shape, right? Its shape. All right? And the Aruch writes in Os Reish 76 on the entry on the race study mem, he writes the Chashina and Shema Haya Doma Ladag Shoyam Shu Rochav V'Dak V'Chad Klapin Rosho. It's thick in the middle and thin, and it's sharp at the other end. You see a picture of fish, right? It has a little tail and a big middle and a little snout at the front, right? If you hold the shell, the Murex snail shell, that is what it looks like. You tilt it to the side. It's exactly what it looks like a fish. You don't have to have a great imagination. So again, to say that goof brioso domala dog doesn't mean it's a fish. First of all, it could mean a dog in the sense of an aquatic creature. And if you don't accept that, the taka looks like a fish. It's true. You know, look at a picture of flat and not on a three-dimensional, but flat, it looks like a fish. So I think that that issue is it can be taken care of as well. The next issue was brought up, we saw it a couple times already, that it only comes out once every 70 years. This is a very big challenge. Because again, you can get the Murex snail very easily. Get the chelozon easily. And Eretz Yisrael, I think they happen to be protected species, but it's really equivalent to the, what's it called? I don't know, the species protection or whatever. So they have the Haganat HaTeva. So you can't really mass hunt them off the coast of Eretz Yisrael, but you can get them. They are commercially fished. They're commercially taken. In some countries, that's where the Tiltchela Foundation has a deal in Spain and Croatia and other places, because they're eaten as a delicacy. We don't eat it, not kosher. Okay, but what do we call it? Escargot, no? They eat the shells, they eat lobsters and crabs and the clams and whatever else, so this is no different. Okay, so they eat these things, so you're able to get it. But this business of every coming out once every 70 years is taka, very powerful kasha. So I do want to mention, the Rambam does not quote that. So that's halo d'avahu, that's noteworthy. Okay, the Rambam does not mention that criterion. That's to come in once every 70 years. Second of all, it requires understanding because it's Alpi Pashtas. Maybe it comes out once every 70 years. It doesn't mean you can't go in and get them yourself, right? That comes out every 70 years, you can go get them. And in fact, we see that people did that back in ancient times in the Gemara. The Mishnah in Shabbos 77 tells us, and I'm Gimel, I don't know if we know. Mishnah says, right, 40 malachas, 39, 40 minus 1, 39 malachas, and among them are kosher ramata, tying and untying. So Gemara goes on, we know that all the malachas, all the malachas that are also on Shabbos are based on things they did in the Mishkan. So the Gemara asks, on Ayin Daven Aleph, Kshir b'mishkan hecha haba, where they tie things in the Mishkan? So and the Gemara has a few possibilities. Elamarov v'itamar b'iloi, shekain tzodei chilozon kosher matirin. The people who hunt the chilozon, who trap the chilozon, have to tie and untie knots, meaning they make these nets, you know, to catch them in. and put them in the bottom of the ocean. You ever see how they trap lobsters that way, right? They have these things. Either they trawl the bottom of the ocean and scoop them up, and it's, you know, then you sort out the junk and you take what you want. Or they would leave these traps on the bottom of the ocean for, like, they collect when they have lobsters. You ever go on these sail things or fishing expeditions, whatever, off the coast of New England or something, whale watching, they show you the lobster traps. So they put them in and they go all the way to the bottom and they crawl and they put them. So they may have done something similar, right? They had to tie and untie these knots. So if this is something that happened once every 70 years, that would be the example, kosher matir, right? Not only that, but the Gemara talks about sar chilozon, people hunting and trapping chilozon. Why would they give that an example? Shabbos Ayin Hamid Aleph, talking about the Tilos and Shomo. We spoke about it already a couple of times. 79. Tanar Bar, Hatzod Chilozon Vapotzel. Okay. Eno Chayv Alachas. Again, it's a question. You're Chayv for killing, you're Chayv for squeezing the blood, whatever. I don't want the details now, but it's Tzod Chilozon. What do you mean? What are you trapping? They come out every 70 years. You can never find them. That's the example the Gemara gives. They want to talk about how many things you're Chayv on Shabbos with Tzod Chilozon. Elamai, it was something that was commonplace. So that doesn't mean how we understand that Gemara that came out, maybe they do after the rain or something, they could come out of the water at certain times, but it doesn't mean that that's the only way to get them. And you say that this was a practice they had. They would tie, they would make traps, and they would trap them, you know, Tzarchilos Michayev on Shabbos. It must have been commonplace, fairly commonplace. Okay. Now, interesting as a side point, some say, well, how could it be a snail? How can you have tzeda by a snail? Chilozon can't be a snail because they move too slow. They move like a snail. They crawl like a snail, right? They are snails, so they crawl very slowly. So that's not called seder. I can bend down and pick it up, right? So again, I'm not going to go through that quickly. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kuvav and Amaral Gomer Amid Beis discusses what's called mechusar seder and ena mechusar seder to violate tzad. More important, we'll skip down to 85. The Gemara in Shabbos, Gemara in Beitza. Okay, the Gemara says that it's not called tzad if you can just get it just by bending over and pick it up. That's all called tzad. But the Gemara Beitza Chav Gimel and Beis going over to Chav Dalam and Aleph 85. The Mishnah talks about again a mechusar tzeda also shen mechusar tzeda muter, something which is mechusar tzeda which needs to be trapped. So then you violate trapping, but it doesn't need to be. It's not violate trapping. So the Gemara says, what's mechusar tzeda Chav Dalam and Aleph 87? Where's Amar Yosef? Amar Yosef Kolsha Omer Havei Mitzudav and Mitzudenu. Let's bring a trap and catch it. What's the norm? What's the mitzias? How do they catch it? Okay, so the answer is, by the chilos, that is how you catch it. You said, let's bring a trap. It's true, you can reach down and pick it up. When you're doing mass producing it, so and so, you can't get it so easily. So, Rabosai, there always seem to be people around who were chilozon catchers. And if it never is available, except once every 70 years, so what were they around? Okay, you look in Melachim Beis, Parakaf, starting in Pasuk Ches, I'm not going to read it to save some time, but 89, but it's certainly Psukim we know. It talks about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. On Chodesh HaMishi, right, the fifth month of the seventh month, they destroyed Vayisov as Beis HaShem, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And the king, Nebuzaradan, left behind, look at the Beis, Midalas Haaretz, Hishe Rabatam, Lechormim Uliyogbim. The poor people who were left, and they weren't exiled, who left, the remnant, who left in Yerushalayim after the Churban, they were assigned to be Kormim, and you're Kormim working at Kromim in the vineyards. And the Radak explains the Amalachim Beis, Perchafei Pasuk, Yud Beis, 90. What is it? Yogim, according to one interpretation. Look at the end of 90. Yogim, Elu Tzadei Chilozon. They're Chilozon trappers. What, the guy only had a job once every 70 years? No, they're all the time. Same thing Rashi says in Yirmiyo. Same Psukim appear in Yirmiyo. Perch Nun Beis, Pasuk Tezayin, right? It starts with Yud Beis, Chorban Abayis, and the left over the people to be yogrim. Rashi says, what are yogrim? Chofrin ba'aretz. And we're saying, Amru tzadei chilozim. And it's based on Alkut Shimoni, Melachim Beis, Ramaz Reish, and Aleph, tzadei chilozim. So obviously, there were people who trapped chilozim. So we have to figure out what this means once every 70 years, but they're advised already. In a tshuva, Chelek Beis, and a tough Reish Pei, hey, 94, was asked, what do you mean? He asked this question. How did the Gemara talk about tzadei chilozon with tie knots and so on and so forth? We had to have chilozon. I thought they only come once every 70 years and so on and so forth. So he says, no, they can be found. The motzu b'yam, they can be found. Okay. Sometimes they would go out of the water or something like that. But he brings his psukim from Melachim Beis and Yirmiyo that there were yogvim, these people who were tzadei chilozon. We see that there were people with tzadei chilozon. Okay. And then they went for the Mishkan. They went to the Yamsuf and got chilozon to make the tchelas for the Mishkan. So again, this once every 70 years is not a major issue. The other issue, though, the fourth issue in the Gemara, I think we've dealt with three of them, right? We had the Domer Gufa Domer Yam Briyasa Domer Dag Olech L'Shemishan. The Gemara talks about dying the tcheles in the blood. So it's not died with the blood; it's died with the secretion of mucus membrane, right? So we shouldn't get excited about that either necessarily, because any discharge in the body is sometimes called blood. There's more need the mem alef mebeis. Amar Yochanan Mokor Shizik Shtei Tipe Margolios. Your tummy, it's not neither, but it's, it produces the body discharge tipe margolos. Says Rashi, dam lovon, it's all white or clear. So obviously, it's a type of pus or it's some other type of discharge. It's not blood, but they weren't causing blood. Okay, and the Rabbi Natan mentions in the Tosos and Shabbos, I name it all of Dumasul Kihechi, Heshman, the dam chilozon, let's see a mifkad pocket. The dam for the chilozon is gathered in one place in the body, it's in a sack, which it is, okay, in the snail. Okay, it means it's not the blood that flows through the body. It's gathered in a particular place. And it's called dam. It's okay that it's called dam. We find in other cases as well, when by the besamim, by the ketores, in Parshas Kisisa, Paraklamet of Shmos, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Latokach besamim Rosh, mor. What is mor? Mor drawer. What is mor? So Ramban says that according to the Rambam, mor is from the musk. Okay, that's the Rambam says in Hilchos Klei Mikdash, Perek Aleph of Gimel, Hamor hu hadam, Hatzor b'chayet shebehodu ayudu l'kol shemizbasim b'benedem. It produces perfumey thing, and the Ramban at the end of the first line of 99 says in there in Parshas Kisisa ki hamor hu anikra musk. Now the others say that more is myrrh, myrrh, the plant there, but whatever it is, but you see it's called dam even though it's not blood. So therefore, when we say it's dam chilozim, doesn't have to mean blood. So I think we've been able to show that the 4 points in the Gemara are not at all ironclad proofs that the chilozon cannot be the snail. The Rambam, though, adds two other things in Hilchos Tzitzis, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis 101. He says, B'domo shachor, it's blood, or we dealt with that, it's black, kidyo, like ink. Ubiyam hamelach humotzen, it's found in the Yam HaMelach, Dead Sea. So that's a problem, because it's not black. Okay, now the Rambam is not saying tcheles is black, because he says earlier in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, 102, he says tcheles amur b'tar b'chomok, what semetzur kip patuk shabakachol, a lighter blue. Okay, and that's like the rakia, it's like the sky at midday. We say the tcheles is like the sky at what time? The sky at midnight, the sky at dawn, the sky at, noon. Okay, so it says the sky, all right. And Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, when he talks about the kelim and the mikdash, the b'dikun, he also says in Perek Ches Halacha Gimel, 103, Atreilas Amur B'chol Mokom, he had Tzemer Tzavur Ketzem Shemayim. Right, like the bright sky blue shoe, Pasul Min HaKocho. All right, so it doesn't mean that it's blue. The problem is, where does the black come from? Okay, that's not in the Gemara. The Radvaz, in the Tshuva Chelek Hay, which is Tshuva, so he answered things to the Rambam, Simon Memches, overall, Simon Elef Tav Chav Aleph 104, Yesh Loma Sheesh Gavan Atchel Shu Shachar, but Yesh Shana Shachar Koka. There are different shades of blue. There's light blue and there's dark blue. So we don't have to get too excited necessarily about that either, okay? But it's still a problem that the Rambam does write black. Okay, it's still a problem. Rav Herzog, his son just became the president, and his grandson just became the president in Eretz Yisrael, right? It's his name for the grandfather. His name is Isaac, I think, right? His name is Isaac Herzog, right? I think they call him Bougie. But his grandfather was the great Gaon. Rav Yitzchak Herzog was the first chief rabbi in the Medina, state of Israel, Ashkenaz. Anyway, it was both, actually. But anyway, so the Rav Herzog suggested, and maybe where the Rambam get this from. So first he suggests it may be from a Medrash, which actually Rashi quotes in the Hirat Parsha Shlach, Perek Tezvav Pasuk Mem Aleph. He says, where does the word Tcheles come from? It's related to the word Shachol. Tcheles, the tough and the shin, is sometimes interchangeable. Tcheles, Hashem Shachol Bechoros. Shachol is Tichla, okay? Makas Bechoros, okay? Shachol, HaKesher Shacholti, Shacholti, right? I'm mourn. I experience a personal loss. So that's referred to Makas Bechoros. And Rashi says the Makas Bechoros was at night, right? At midnight. The Chain Tzeva Tcheles is like that. That's what Rashi says. Leis Erev. Sifrei, in Arshad and Shach, Pisa Kuf Tezvav, 106 also says that. Okay, that they, so maybe that's where the Rambam got black from. But other than that, the Rav, or we know it's Bechatzi Alayla, so maybe it's the midnight sky. Rav Moshe Feinstein in a Tshuva in 108, Igros Moshe Rodei Chelek Beis and Kuflam and Gimel. Rav Moshe tries to deal with this Rambam by saying that it may be black when it first comes out, but it's mixed with other ingredients, which he wonders, how can you mix with other ingredients? Right? And he said, no, that is Tcheles. That's the definition. It's part of the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. Okay, it's an interesting tshuva. But again, he deals with the black. And he says, maybe naturally it's black, and it is black at first, a dark color. Anyway, the Rambam is a bit of a problem. Rav Herzog suggested it was based on something the Rambam read in the works of non-Jewish scientists, Aristotle, Pliny, and others who do speak about black. But anyway, we can deal with that also from that realm, I think. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's black, the color is black, or not for a long time, anyway, maybe at the very beginning. And certainly when it's mixed with other things, it's not. That's what Ramosha says. Now, the other issue, he said, is found in the Yam HaMelech. Now, that's not true. The snail is not found in the Yam HaMelech. It's found in the Mediterranean. So the fact is that the Rambam refers to any saltwater source as Yam HaMelech. It doesn't mean what we call the Yam HaMelech necessarily. Look in the Perek HaMishnah of the Rambam, Kalim. I'm sorry for going 5 minutes over. We'll finish up. Perek Tezvav, Mishnah Aleph. Rambam talks about a boat, okay? And he writes, boats, Ke'onio Shenosin Behem Eretz Yisrael Alexandria, Sfinas Dolos Meshen, Over Mem Tzai Yam HaMelech. Boats that go from Eretz Yisrael to Alexandria in Egypt cross the Yam HaMelech. They don't cross the Dead Sea. They get from Eretz Yisrael to Alexandria. They cross through the Mediterranean. Rambam says Yam HaMelech. Or a parish of mission, Tvul Yom, Parag Dal Posek Hei, Mefarish, talking about a Maflik Yam HaMelech, taking a boat on the Yam HaMelech. Not 20 boats on the Yam HaMelech. He means the Mediterranean. And Hilchas Kelayim, Parag Gid Olach Aleph, he speaks about something also found in the Yam HaMelech. Okay? But it doesn't seem to be the Yam HaMelech. And look in 112, the Derech Amuna, Mechaim Kanievsky, in his parish to Hilchas Kelayim, Perek Yolach Gimel, look what he writes, Rabbeinu Kore Lechol Hayamim Hameluchim Yam HaMelech. So therefore, when the Rambam says Hilchas Tzitzis, that the Chalazon is found in the Yam HaMelech, and we say the snail is not found in the Dead Sea, not too many living creatures are, well, that's not a problem, because it didn't mean the Yam HaMelech. He meant, most likely, the Mediterranean. Okay? Finally, the issue is that some raise a question that the Medrash seems to say here in our Sedra in Parshas Shlach, Parshas Yud Zayin, Siman Hey 113. The Gemara says, the Medrash says by the end of 113, V'achshav ein lano el alavon shatcheles nignaz. Tcheles was put in the Geniz, was put away, removed from use. So therefore, there's those who say, well, how can you say that we've rediscovered it? It says in the Medrash nignaz. So you dealt with all the problems, domal adag, you dealt with the black, and you dealt with the Yam HaMelech. But you can't even deal with this. It says Atcheles Nignaz. So first of all, Nignaz doesn't have to mean it's put away, that we can't rediscover it. There's Gemara in Psochim, Samach Beis Mabeis, talking about a Sefer Yuchsin. So it says, Mishenigna, Miyom Shenigna, Sefer Yuchsin. Rashi says, Psochim, Samach Beis Mabeis, 115, Nignaz means Nishtakach. I mean, it was actually formally put away. It was just forgotten. It was forgotten about. So here, we forgot about. Now we remembered it. Okay. However, there is a Sifrei in Parshas Lo Sabrocha, Piska Shin Nun Dalad, 116. But there, it speaks about a person who was traveling. He met a person who was in the chalazon business, and he said, we can't get it because it's protected by spiders. Spiders means Romans. Okay, the authorities wouldn't let people wear it. And that's probably why it was lost, because at one point it became illegal for commoners to wear colors. In order to wear colors, you had to be a nobleman. You had to, we say in English, you earn your stripes. Right? I mean, you know, the more decorations you have, more colors you have, the more important you are. And the common people wear plain white. If you had this status, you had like some kind of a mark. Our talisim with the black stripes on it, right? Or the Sfaradim have a different color white stripe. That was just for dignified, right? To make it look nicer. Okay. Anyways, but he said, look what it says. So gunos let tzaddikim lost in love. This phrase said it's put away in let tzaddikim lost in love. Now, that sounds like, you know, forget about Nurex. We don't have the right to go looking for it. It's put away for the tzaddikim, lost in Lovel. So, both sides, the speaker here is a Biosi, the Tana. They had Tcheles, we know, well after the Tana of Biosi. So, it can't mean Nignaz l'tzaddikim, lost in Lovel, Mamish. It's very difficult to say that. The Tshuvas HaGaonim, in their time, they didn't have Tcheles already. In Shari Tshuvas in Kuflin Test 117, it says, Kishahoya Tcheles B'yad Yisrael, when we had the Tcheles, etc., etc. The Rif, in Menachas, David Gimel Beis, in his pages, the Rif writes, Idna, we don't have Tcheles now. And the Ramban writes in Shabbos, Yud Beis and Menachas, it starts in Yud Alf Beis, but Yud Beis and Menachas, he writes, Are Avos Kadmonim Yos HaGaonim, the time of the Gaonim. So we need to understand what it means, Nignaz the Tzadikim, maybe it means a particular type of chilozim, maybe it's a particular chilozim, that particular place that Rabbi Yossi was visiting. Okay, he can't get it now, whatever. We see from others, we've shown in the Maharil, Chuvas Maruch Hadosh Simen Hey, in Osbeis 120, we'll finish up. Usvorehi, the Shemayach of the Kushe, Tcheles Motze, maybe like once again, Tcheles we found. And you have a problem wearing wool and linen, you know, that's what's talking about, that what you can do with tcheles, but we don't wear wool garment, we don't wear wool So we don't have linen tzitzis because maybe it'll be a shatnez problem, which it wouldn't be if there were tchelis. So he writes, hey, tchelis motzim, maybe they'll find it again. Okay? And he says, because we can find it, and there is simon, and bekal hayolasu, we can make it easily, the Ma'aril writes. And the Radvaz also writes, in that same tool we mentioned before, chelik basin, and tov reish pei halot, 120, v'efshar shad hayom motzim, we can find it even today. Except Hashem Makir, we don't know exactly, but you can find it. He's not bothered by this nignas tzadikim. And the Rabban writes in Parashat Tetzava, Shmos Parakov Pes Posik Beis 122. He writes Vatcheles Gam Hayom. Nobody wears it chutz mi melech goyim except for royalty, nobility. But it doesn't mean you don't have it. Okay, the Olas Tama the Posik Posik Simin Tes in Sivkot and Gimel 123. Vafal Gav the Bisman is Elekhel. Shem is Galatcheles. Maybe we'll find it again. So all of these poskim, the Baril and the Rabban, they're not worried, oh, it's the Tzadik lost in love. You have to explain that medrash differently, okay? And it's only a medrash. It maybe means to say in that one place. Just end. So I think that that takes care of really these major objections, you know, that it has to be, Gufo Dom Aliyam and Briyoso Dom Adag comes out once every 70 years. It's Dom that they use, and the Rambam's business about Shachor and the fact that it's Yama Melach. And this medrash that is Nignas, I think all these things can be answered. These are some of the objections, and they are, I admit, the objections based on a simple reading of the text that we saw. But as we saw, there are many plausible explanations, which, you know, as far as I'm concerned, those who do wear the tchelis can continue to do so quite comfortably in a halachic vein. I just ended with a tshuva from Yeshua Kutna, Yeshua's Malko, Chilek Archaim Simon Beis. He's talking about the Radzina Rebbe's tchelis, and he doesn't like it, but he says, yeah, there was Nignas. What does Nignas mean? And what does it mean? The day they build the Beis HaMikdash, then they'll find it. You know, maybe the fact that we found it is Taka, a sign that the ghoul is coming. That's how the Yeshua's Malko writes. He writes, third line, the Efshar Shemitz notes say Tagula. Maybe. Now, I don't know that this tchelis is or it isn't. We don't know for sure, but don't tell me that it's Nignas, Lassid Lava, and so on. So maybe now is the time. It was Nignas, and now is the time to uncover it, because Efshar Shemitz misnotzeitz ha-Geula. So that's what we have to hope, that the discoverer of Tchelis is a sign of the Geula beginning to wake up. Maybe the reacquaintance of this mitzvah is a sign for the Geula. It should come very quickly. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry I went 2 minutes over, but I say it's an important topic, and that I endorse wearing the Burek's Tchelis for whatever it's worth. I do wear it, and I think it's there's a lot of compelling evidence that it's correct. And the objections, I think, can be dealt with in a plausible way. Even though, again, as I stress, Gedolei Torah, certainly Gedolei Torah object to it. Okay, we'll stop over here. I wish everyone a good Shabbos.